Hi, folks. Welcome to First Reading, the Old Testament Lectionary Podcast. I'm Rosie Candlethal, and if you have been following us this summer, you may have already seen that we are trying a new format this summer called Summer Shorts, where we try to join you for just a few minutes and offer one, maybe two preaching points out of the lectionary readings for the week. I am joining you to talk with you about the readings for July 14th. The first reading for this week is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 19. So as usual, we have a little bit of a cut and paste job here, but I'll try to address the main points of the story. This is the story of David retrieving the Ark of the Covenant and bringing it in, ushering it in to the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. At the beginning of this chapter, what you'll see is the story is interrupted. So he begins the procession to bring it to Jerusalem. There's this tragic moment where the men who are processing with the ark profane it in some way by touching it. And we have talked before about the holiness of the Lord. And this is one of those moments where it is underscored. The story picks up again then in verse 12 when David decides, no, we really must continue, and picks up the ark once again to bring it into Jerusalem, into the city of David. Now, the story itself is famous for a lot of reasons. One, for the moment of David dancing and whirling before the ark, this exuberant moment of worship that is so unrestrained that it draws a rebuke from his wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul. Many people will remember that rebuke, not only the way that Michal offers it, but then the way that David counters it, in that he says that he will become even more shameless before the Lord because his dancing was before God. The point that I would like to kind of draw preachers' attention to, and the thing that I've been dwelling on, is a particular Hebrew word that's used in verse 5. And the root there is shachak. So it's a word that means laughter. It's the root behind the name Ishak, son of Abraham. He laughs. So it has this connotation of laughing and in playing. And in the English translation, verse 5 refers to how Israel, the whole nation of Israel and David, play instruments before the Lord in their joy as they bring back the ark to Jerusalem. Once again, it is as though they are welcoming God back into their midst and recovenanting themselves in that relationship. And that produces such a moment of worship, of liturgical joy, that we see it spilling over in verse 5. And the word that struck me there is that it's rooted in this idea of deep pleasure and of joy. And I wonder, as we think about our worship this summer, I know for myself, summer is kind of a time where we explore more play, even as adults. Kids are out of school, and we're finding ways to kind of connect with nature. It's warmer outside, so we're out by the pool. And I've been thinking about this idea of play and worship, and the way that this story really connects dancing and the physicality of that, and music. So all the numbers of instruments that are being named here. So wooden instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, is literally everything they can put their hands on to make this joyful noise before God. And I wonder if this passage can't be a way to inspire ourselves to be a little bit more free this summer around our worship, to let go of some of the ideas that our worship need to be so proper and formal. And I know that I am somebody who is more comfortable with more formal worship. But this is a truly unbounded moment where all of Israel dances with all their might. And I think that's also a phrase that's worth dwelling on. What does it look like to worship with all of our might, with everything that's within us? And the Hebrew word there is, it really has to do with strength, with vitality, oz. So what does it look like to use all of my might? And as adults, I think we don't often give ourselves the permission to dance and sing and play the way that we see Israel and David strenuously doing in this passage. And I just want to offer a little counter here too. I know it's easy to kind of look at Michal and see her rebuke of David in a negative way. I just want to be careful to point out that Michal's pain is quite evident here in the way that she speaks to David in chapter 6. And it might help to look at some of the context for that, because in chapter 5, the chapter right preceding, we will see how David has treated Michal. He has decided, even though she is his wife, to take on additional wives and concubines and have additional children. And this is quite open. And Michal is likely quite hurt. And the passage ends with her never having children. Now, that's not just her fault. The fact is that David no longer goes into her. And in this culture, to not have your husband come into you means that you will remain childless. And that is a major status issue. So if you are tempted to go in the direction of coming down on Michal, I wonder if you might not also consider her own deep trauma and hurt, so that she is in some way unable to see David's worship outside of her own pain. And there may be people in our congregations too, like Michal, who have been hurt and are cynical about the church and look at worship in such a way that David has to reframe it for her, to say that being before Israel and being its worship leader doesn't just mean holding up all the rules and looking formal and looking kingly all the time, but there is a time when we let down our hair, when we dance with all of our might, and when we set an example as those who might be in front for others to also experience a sense of freedom of expression in their worship. So anyway, that's something I'd like to offer as we think about our way of interacting with worship and liturgy that might set us free around this example of David, with also an understanding that there are folks in our congregations that might be unwilling or unable to kind of join in that kind of unrestrained worship, and that is okay too. They still remain a part of our congregation, just like Michal remains a part of David's family. I hope that's helpful for you as you think about your own preaching and teaching contexts this week, July 14th. Enjoy your summer. And we'll join you again for Summer Shorts. Bye now.